Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Hi, this is Dwayne Sternholm, founder of the United Earth Ecclesia. The UEE, or UEs, is the next generation of internet networking dedicated to the co-creation of the greatest and highest good. I'd like to invite you to join me, authoress Terry, and her co-host Mark as founding members of UEs at xlo.org. As a free founding member, you can contribute your ideas, suggestions, and votes on how we can work together to improve our planet. XLO is short for Exclamation of Love. Share our XLOs in this unprecedented effort of internet global democracy with ethics and integrity. We need you to help us co-create a better world. Thank you for your consideration, time, and ideas. What kind of world do you wish to live in? Check it out at exlo.org. Be one.
spend my life with you. But I first want to start off tonight thanking all my listeners who are tuning in from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners, the ones in Canada. How you doing, Jim Sweatingham, a dear friend of mine and editor of my books. Also, my friends in the United Kingdom, Iron Moody and Murray Glasspole, thank you for tuning in. And some of my other friends in Nigeria, Africa, Olu and Kevin Obi, and my friends in Cameroon, Africa, and my friends also in Pakistan, my friends in Peru and Argentina. No, I'm sorry, Australia, my friend Wayne Ditchfield in Australia. And I'm looking to make some more other, you know, acquaintances over the globe because I'm going to do my thing and bring it to you real. But tonight, our guest is going to be talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And a lot of people associate that with the military, but you can have that without being in the military. And I also want to give a special shout out to all those men and women who have served our country in the Navy, Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, National Guards, even the Coast Guards, you know, because it had to be some strong, dedicated, patriotic people to do that because Quasi's kept, you know, I'm not really sure I wanted to fight somebody else's battle, especially when a lot of times we was fighting and didn't know why we was fighting. But anyway, my hats go off to y'all for thank you for serving our country and doing that, you know, and it's a blessing to have people who's willing to step, you know, in front of that potential bullet and take it for somebody else because, you know, we're living pretty good here in the United States, and I don't know about other places, but when you watch the news and you see all these people in these third world countries and bombs going off every day, you know, and now it's getting to the point it's happening in places like Paris, and that's not a third world country, you know, it makes you kind of scary, you know, because I don't want to walk out of my door and I'm going to Walmart, you know, or Burger King or Dollar Tree and boom, boom, everything blowing up. Hell to the no. So, you know, I thank everybody for doing what they do to keep my behind safe. I appreciate you. Hugs and kisses, deuces. But anyway, my guest, Linda Wiley, bless her heart, man. She's a published writer. She wrote poetry. She's been on the best illustrated newspaper title show and all this good stuff. But, you know, she got this nice book, you know, that we're going to get into later. It's called Soldiers with a Backpack, you know, and she had a rough upbringing, and we all got some wounds. And I just want to thank her first and foremost for being able to open up and share some of the rough patches in her life. And I want my listeners who's listening to appreciate that this sister, she's bearing her heart and her soul. Don't take it lightly. Learn from what she's got to share with you because, you know, we all got crosses to bear. Might not be your cross, but it might be one day. But, you know, just, you know, learn from it. You know, take the knowledge out of what she's going to share tonight. You know, share it with somebody that you know. Tell your daughters, tell your sons, you know, because this thing is real. And it's our responsibility to reach back and educate because I look back and I'm so afraid for this generation right now because it's the twerking generation. It's the generation of death. Everybody's dying. It's a generation of nonsense, you know, and thoughts and all these other kind of nasty things. You know, you got to wake up, young people, man. This is not how you go. Pull your damn pants up. Act like you got some sense. Get your behind in church and act like a man and act like a woman. We don't need no more thoughts out there. We don't need no more whores and prostitutes. And we don't need no sorry men out there. Come on now. We need to give these babies something to look forward to. And what I'm saying, I'm not impressed. I'm appalled. I'm shocked. Like, whoa, what the hell is going on? But, you know, it's real, and that's how I get down. It's real talk. So, you know, anybody who's tuning in that's in the church, because I'm in the church too. I'm a Bible school teacher, but if you got something to say about me, come on now, just hang up. Don't listen, because, you know, so I'm going to say what needs to be said, whether you want to hear it or not. The truth is what it is, and it stands on its own. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Linda Wiley. How you doing, darling?
Doing great. Doing wonderful. I can listen to your voice for a while.
Okay. I'm so glad to have you here, Linda. Please, darling, because you know something? I embrace the sisters who are strong enough, you know, to go through something and get past it and to humble themselves and to share that because We all have been hurt, and that's real talk, you know. And sometimes we've been hurt so bad that we're afraid to just utter that stuff because we're afraid that it's going to happen to us again, you know. And it just makes me, you know, tender, you know, in my mind when I see women that's strong enough like you to be a leader, because it's a leader who can go through something and still teach the babies. And I appreciate you, sweetheart. I really do. So I'm going to start right off with further ado. I'm not going to even tell you a story like I wanted to. I'm going to let you tell it yourself. I'm going to start like, hey, you was born, then what?
I was born.
Uh-huh.
First, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I really, really appreciate that. And
anytime,
that's a nice
baby.
Way to start this journey is I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was born into a family being the only daughter. And I had two brothers. And I had three brothers and myself. And I came up under the atmosphere of domestic violence. My father was a great bully. He pretty much was gentle most of the time, but when he wasn't, it was very sad for my mom and for us as children.
Wow.
And so one of my main things that I did was really, really observe things quietly. Actually, that's how all the children in the house dealt with things, quietly. And one time it was just a little bit too much for my mom, and he had external affairs. And so she was thrown out of the house because she was not accepting his lifestyle and his abuse. But she also wanted her children. But my father, out of punishing her, had the power and the money to have the legal system take us away from her. And so me being the only daughter, the only female in the house, it was pretty much I replaced my mother.
Oh, no. Are you saying that your dad molested you or touched you inappropriately?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what happened when I was born. My father would come into my bedroom, and I would be asleep. And it was so dark. You know, darkness was different for kids when it's dark. You know, it's really dark to us, and I was sleeping.
Yeah, boogeyman, yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm not in my bed for the night. I'm in their room, in their bed. In fact, I actually remember the night. I didn't know at the time, but when he took my virginity.
Wow, how old were you?
I was 4 years old, and I
was
sleeping.
Oh, you were a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought I had actually peed on myself. That's just how out of sorts I was about understanding what had happened, because it was dark.
Okay, Linda, could you stop 1 second? Let me just say this real quick. I know you're an African-American woman, and so am I. And I know that a lot of time people will stereotype people, and they will think that this molestation between relatives and children is usually considered to be a Caucasian problem. But, you know, somebody, I want to let people know, it ain't Caucasian, it ain't a white problem, it ain't a black problem, it's not a Mexican problem, it ain't a Chinese problem, it's a problem, period. And I want people to realize that, you know, a lot of times people would not even believe that black people would do that to each other, because we have struggled. History has dictated and showed that we have struggled as a race. And, you know, you would think that as a race, we'll be strong enough to uplift and protect our own. And then to find out that some black nigger going to take a baby and violate it in his own child. Man, if I even smelt that was happening or whatever, and I was there, man, he would get a beat down. I'd wait for his ass in a dark alley, because this, I hate that, you know, because we done been through enough, and then they have this kind of mess, Okay, I just had to say that, but go ahead, darling.
And the thing about that, the experience itself, you have no clue that this is not something that should be taking place as a child. You're in a state of responding to your parents' life, you know. And so this went on for quite some time, and it was just a regular. And
he
always was, like, he loved to give me a bath, you know. and said how special I was and he loved me, you know. And like that night when that happened, when he took my virginity and I screamed and I cried because it hurt so bad, it's like he saved me from my own pain because he embraced me. He held me and he rocked me till I went back to sleep. So it was like I didn't understand the comprehension that this man has actually done something to me. My father, you know, has done something to me. The only thing that I could get in touch with was he nurtured me back to silence and peace and calmed the pain, you know, and gave me rest of it. But I had no idea that he had done something to me that he should not have done. And
but
I
what
never,
about, you know, as a child, like this happened when you was 4 years old, and I know because I'm a parent myself. My daughter, as she was growing up, there were different stages that you had to constantly be going back for checkups. How come this never showed up when you went to see a doctor for routine checkups? Because, and also, too, when little children are molested, it's said that, you know, a lot of times they be acting grown or they want to touch things because that's what was touching them and they don't know that that's wrong. Were you doing anything that another relative or aunt or uncle that, you know, was older could say, why that baby acting like that, you know, and try to look at the situation a little more closely?
Well, see, for me, they just assumed, I don't know if I was naturally quiet, but I was extremely quiet. I didn't care to be around people. And if you ever looked in my eyes, you could tell that I didn't have something that a lot of other kids had. You could just see it in my eyes. But, you know, one of my struggles from this experience that I had was trying to understand what's normal, because actually I didn't realize what happened to me until my father moved my brother and I into a stepfamily situation. And it wasn't until then, by then I was about between 7 and 8 years old. And actually my father continued to molest me. He also added one of her daughters to this experience. And what he did was, like, my stepmother, she worked nights, and so the oldest would stay up and I would stay up and we would clean the house and do dishes and stuff. And my dad, he worked the midnight shift, and so he, some kind of way, he playing hide-and-go-seek. I can't remember how it started, but we ended up playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark. When he would come home from work, he would lock the upstairs door where all the other children were. And it was like it was totally normal to me because it continued from what I had already experienced, so I didn't never think anything was wrong with it. And so we would hide. And so then if he found us, you know, something came off. And then we would have to lay until the other person is found, then we laid next to each other. And so then whatever he decided he wanted to do, that's what took place when he found us. You know,
well, Linda, first of all, your dad was a damn pedophile, and he ought to be ashamed of himself. But I want to ask you a question. I know this is very sensitive, and trust and believe, darling, I'm not trying to judge you, and I'm not trying to put you down, but I just need to ask this question for the benefit of my listeners in case someone else is going through what you went through. We know that our body is very sensitized to feeling emotions and touch certain areas. They feel good to us. At any time, even though you didn't realize what was being happening was inappropriate, did it feel good? Because that's just a normal reaction when you touch certain parts of your body, you know. I mean, what was going on in your mind, even though, you know, now it was wrong? You knew it was normal, but in that normalcy, did any of that feel good to you?
And see, that's a very good question because I keep trying to remember, you know, what actually did I experience? And he kind of reminded me because I did talk to him about the experience. And he was saying, you know, like when that moment happened, that I really enjoyed it, but I don't recall it because the only thing I remember is blacking out.
Bingo, stop right there. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. Because, you know, some, your body will do whatever it takes to protect you, and you can physically black out while going through what you went through, because that's like I was in a fight with this girl I was afraid of. I knew she swung, and I knew I woke up, I was getting ready to hit her, And that time frame was totally blank because, you know, that fear takes over. Thank God I was winning. But when you said blacked out, you can be in a physical wide awake blackout. You know, you're probably still conscious, but your mind is protecting you because it's not natural. And, okay. Well, I tell you what, everybody, you know, we got Miss Linda here on the phone, on the mic, and I'm not doing the chat room tonight, so don't even bother going and leaving messages. If you want to talk to the young lady, you need to call 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key, which let me know you got a question. Or just stand by and just listen in and just listen to the interview or just listen by your computers. But I appreciate y'all being here. But we need to take a small break so my guest can go get her some lemonade or iced tea or something because we're going to run our mouth a little bit more when I come back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day. No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Possession.
I was prepared from the garden to this life.
Over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much. Oh, sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season. And that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Ooh, baby. A flower. You're my flower. Flower. It's you, baby. It's you. It's you, baby, baby.
Everybody, to another episode of Unmasked. And our show tonight is talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And our guest, Linda Whiteley, bless her heart, she is sharing her heart and she's opening up to some personal wounds. And one of those things was that her dad was abusive to her mom, and because he had the money, he was able to legally steal the kids from under her mom. And she was the only girl with a couple of brothers, and her father molested her at the age of 4. Then they had a blended family, and he molested the daughter of his new wife. The guy was a pervert. I wish there was a strong man back then, at that time, who could have bust my father's head, because it's our commission to, when we have children, to be their protector, to be their guidance, you know, to show them how to live and be moral, you know, and he dropped the ball big time, you know. And we're going to touch a little bit more on that story. And then before it's all over and said and done, we are definitely going to get back into the story about her books. But if y'all have a question you would like to ask my guests, please hit the number 1 on your phone. That will show me that you have your hands up. And without further ado, I'm going to get right back to my guest, Linda Whatley. Linda Whatley, you there, darling?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't hear your voice kind of low. I hope I didn't make you sad by bringing up this topic.
Oh, no. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. That's better. Okay, well, we want to stop right there and get back into it. We had touched on the fact that somewhere along the line you went back and asked your dad, did you enjoy it? Because I asked you, did your body respond to the touching? Because that's natural, even though what he was doing to you was unnatural. And he said that you enjoyed it, but you had a blackout, a physical blackout. And so what made it stop, or when did it stop?
I was thinking about when you had mentioned, like, going to the doctor and different like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, that's actually what happened. My stepmother had taken me to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well. And so when they did examine everything, they had mentioned, you know, about the hymen being broken, and
mm-hmm.
that they were concerned about my psychological state, because they felt that I may have been depressed. You know, they were
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out, you know, I had this certain look that concerned them. And so for sure that they told her that I had been involved, you know, in the compassion of an adult. And so
mm-hmm.
when she questioned me about it, she asked me, you know, like, did anybody touch you? Did anybody take your clothes off and different things like that? And
mm-hmm.
still I'm not understanding what's going on. I was about 8 years old. I still didn't understand quite what was going on. And so I just told her, I said, well, you know, I told her about my dad. And
mm-hmm.
I said, just like I'm talking to you, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's all that happened. And so then that's when it was exposed.
Praise God. I know they couldn't let you see the horror in the eyes of that physician who asked you that question, or that person, because I'm sure they didn't want to make you afraid, because they want to keep you able to communicate what had happened to you. But I'm sure in their mind they was cussing and fussing, and they knew, call defects, call whoever they need to call to get this busted, call the police, have him locked up, you know. My Lord. So did they let you go back home that day?
That's what I was getting ready to say. During that time, I mean, it's like it ran through the family. During that time, it was always a silent experience. Even though that was exposed, it was never actually corrected, in the sense that action was taken for his you know, his choice to do that. Instead, it just stopped. It didn't have no, you know, going to jail, no going to court, no anything. It's like nobody else knew about it except for, you know, like one of the siblings who figured it out, you know, that this had happened. But as far as it spreading through the family, it took years before it spread it through the family.
And probably then they probably told you to keep it undercover because they don't want a plague on the family. Someone knows something so, you know, bad, you know, happened, you know. I was wondering, because that happened, were you able to go back to your mom? I mean, you mean the person who found out that your hymen was broken, and for all the people out there who don't know, the hymen is that covering in a female's vagina that once it's broken, she's no longer a virgin. So at no time, when you was at the doctor's, they didn't contact the police It was just like whatever, and you went right back to that mess?
Didn't any actually change. It was like, even for me, it wasn't like I chose to not tell anybody. I just didn't, it's like when I go to the restroom or anything else, I just didn't make it a conversation. It wasn't like I was keeping a secret. It was like it was
But I'm thinking that when you was at the doctor's, I'm thinking that medical professional person, they called the police right away. They called protective services. I'm not talking about you bringing it up because that's not something a child would want to bring up anyway. But I was thinking at that point, didn't nobody go to the next level and make sure you didn't go home that night because it was proof that you was violated?
No.
My God, what the hell?
That's why I'm saying I had a difficulty with normative because it was never handled in a manner like it was wrong.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it makes my heart sad because, you know, I believe in children. You know, it's truly our future, and we got to raise them up the way we want them to go. And there's no way in my mind if I had a known neighbor, whatever, they would have to call me Big Mouth because I would have started some confusion because I would never let you be hurt if I found out something was going on. Well, how long did it take before your family figured it out?
Well, see, what basically ends up happening is just like some of the siblings to start, you know, talking among themselves. But like for my mom, we reached the age where we was finally able to decide who we wanted to live with. And that at the age of 13, I think it was, I chose to go back to my mom. Even then, she didn't know. She didn't know until I was an adult.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know. It just didn't travel.
Well, Linda, you did say at one point that you went back and you asked your father about this. Now, I'm sure, I don't care what age you were, that you were strong enough to bring this to his attention. I'm sure you had to be an adult, able to whip his old ass if you try to pop off smart in the mouth. But anyway, how did you approach him to talk about something that had you, like, sick, you know, holding that all those years and knowing that after you grew up, that you know this was wrong, is a whole lot of emotions. How could you do this, Dad, to me? How could you hurt my mama and take her from our family? How could you? All these questions that I would have had. Do you remember what age you were and what made you decide to bring it up? Was it because you was deciding to become a parent yourself? Because I know you're a mom now. You know, I'm sure you got great advice for your children. I mean, what made you and what age did you decide to go back and relive and revisit this topic?
Okay, what happened, I'm going to share an experience that actually happened that made me realize that something was wrong. Okay, we used to have visitation, you know, back and forth from my mom to my dad. And this particular night, my brothers and I was at the step family home, and nobody was there but us and my dad. And I was down the basement by myself, and I was listening to some music. My brothers was upstairs. And my dad, he come down the basement, kind of like cornered me, and he started, you know, bundling me and touching me.
Your dad did?
Yes, and I was like, I think I was about 14 maybe by then. And so.
Well, wait a minute. Stop. Okay, you said you was at 8 when they found out at the hospital that you had been violated. Okay, did it stop at 8 and resumed? Or tried to at 14? I mean, or was it continued all the way up through?
The attempt was made at the age of 14 because I was with my mom now. But during those times back at the house, before I left my mom, we had stopped.
Okay.
But when I was, And so I come to visit, I was down the basement, and he cornered me, and he started touching me. Like, the reason why I understood that finally something was wrong is because now, you know, I have boyfriends, like I'm dating a little bit, you know. I have met guys and dating. And so I started noticing he was kind of like putting his arms on me, around me and touching me somewhat like, you know, the boys do. And I was like, oh, my God, this felt horrific. It was like it scared me. Oh, my God, I can't even describe to you how that felt. It was like the worst feelings that I could ever remember. No, I didn't have those feelings before. And so.
Because you have suppressed them.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. But I was like curling myself up real tight, holding on to myself and begging him to not touch me no more. I asked him, please don't do this no more. And I was crying. And I saw his face and he was like, tears that came to his eyes. Like, he couldn't believe that I didn't want him to touch me. He was like, you talking about a hurt man? He was really a hurt man, but I was really traumatized at that moment. And so he looked at me, and he told me, he said, I will never touch you again like that, ever again. And
it's too late.
The
damage is done.
Huh? But this
is it's too late. The damn damage is done. Like he's doing you a favor.
That's not the end of it, though, that really
my goodness.
Me, huh? That really, really, really did some damage. That was not the end of that night. That night when he promised me that he would never touch me again or try to do that to me again, he was shot in the back and paralyzed from the waist down. And I felt
poetic justice.
Felt it was my fault because I didn't give him what he wanted. That if I had done that, he wouldn't have had to say those words and end up keeping them in that capacity. So I'm all
messed up.
You know, so that's when I realized how wrong it was. But
well,
it was
Linda,
like,
you know, baby, I don't know whether you have to seek therapy for this or whether you just decide just handle it, grow up, and just deal with it. But let me say this, if you haven't seek therapy, none of this was your fault. Your dad being paralyzed was not your fault. The things that you went through was his fault exclusively. He is an adult. You are a child. You know, and I applaud you for being able to be able to open your heart up and love someone else. You know, because sometimes when people are molested, it just shuts them down, especially when the person that's supposed to protect them is the perpetrator. So, you know, if you haven't seek therapy, you know, then you can do another thing. Just take it to the Lord in prayer because God can fix it and just say, Jesus, take the wheel, you know, because everything that people do, every little group that's out there is supposed to be for self-help. It starts with God as the center, you know, so whatever you might think or might start to trickle in your memory because a lot of it probably is suppressed or blocked, you know, just remember, if nothing else, that chick on the radio, Terry Lyle, said, it's not your fault, and it's not your fault. You was a baby, you know, and some of these things might flood your memory. When you, it might be a trigger. You might see somebody looking at a child a certain kind of way, and it might make you think about you and your dad. It might be a lot of little things that might just kick off, you know, and you don't know how you're going to act. You might just zap out and snatch a child away from somebody that's just picking up the hugger because you might have, you know, your own stuff flooding back, you know. But at the end of the day, darling, it's not your fault.
I eventually learned that, you know, but it was like that's what I felt at that time. And on top of that, it was on my stepbrother's birthday. Yeah, that all happened on his birthday. Yeah.
Wow.
When I finally asked him about it, I had my own children by then. I was adult. And he honestly didn't feel like it was anything wrong with what he was doing or had done. He felt like he was showing me love. He didn't want any other man or boy to be involved with me. He felt like that was for him to do. And he said that if he existed in another part of the world, in some places, it's acceptable. Would nobody have a problem with it? And he didn't feel guilty about it. He had no regret or anything like that.
Okay, well, I can't say I've seen all parts of the world, but I've been around and I've been out of the country a lot of different places. But in everywhere that I have been, praise God, that ain't normal. And to me, I just think your daddy trying to justify it, and I think it's a big fat lie. I can't even fathom no damn where somebody have a child and they think it's okay to molest them. Now, I do realize in some cultures that a lot of times children, to me, when they're under, you know, 21 are babies to me. But in some cultures at 12 or early ages, they can be married off. But I ain't believing that, because most time when you see people touching little kids, it's called pedophilia. You know, it's not accepted, you know. So I think your father's trying to justify it. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know everything, but that's quasi, that's BS, man. I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't feeling that. But you know, Linda, we need to take a small break. If anybody want to ask Linda any questions, and I want y'all to hear what she had to say, because she's strong enough. She made it. She made it through, and so can you. If you got a question, it's dial 347-945-6003. We're gonna take a real small break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap that section up, and then we're going to talk more about her book and get into the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which does not have to do with the military. This has to do with something traumatic in your life. It can cause you to have some issues, you know. So we're going to talk about that in about 2 and 2, but we need to take a small break, and we'll be back. Stay with us. Bye-bye.
Took a shower. Once again, I'm heading home, but I'm satisfied to the bone. Like so many times before, you had me begging for more. Now I'm running home to her when it's you I prefer. She's got paper on me. She's got paper on me. How long can this go on? Pretending to love someone who just don't turn me on. And every time I taste your sweet, sweet lips, I make up my mind to abandon the ship. Man, oh man, she's cramping my style. I look in her face and see your sweet smile, but she's got paper on me. She's got paper on me. Girl, you're more than just some wrong, I wine and dine.
I'm on my way back, and I started thinking, this show been acting strangely. And what is this I hear when I walk up to my bathroom door? You singing about some other woman? Let me tell you something, Mr. Looks So Good. From now on, this house is where you used to live. My, my, my. Don't we look pretty in that suit, my money boss? You better come on downstairs and have a seat. But don't you get too comfortable now, because you won't be here that long. Now, I'm not exactly sure about what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. I gave you the best years of my life trying to be a good mother and a good wife. I made you what you are. You hear me? I paid the house notes. I put you through school. I paid for that pretty car you riding your woman all women round in. Now, if I can't be number one, I will not be number two, unless I want to be. And right now, I'm in no mood to be number two. That's right, I've got papers on you. And you do understand, my dear, that you must pay me to be free. That's what I said. You're going to pay me for my years and my tears and all my wasted years. And I know being with me hurts you. And I mean, you don't dig me anymore, but I'm hurting too. And you can tell that Disney broad, you know, the one you singing about, the Miss Sweet Little Thing that's always on your mind, that I'm not letting you out of this unless you buy me out. I'm not going through no more hard times or bad times, because I can do bad all by myself. All by myself. Yeah, I got papers on you. But now I'm throwing them in the trash can of my memory. Now take your little albums and your little raggedy component set that never worked, and you can scat. You hear me? Just use my life up. Use my body up.
Well, well, well. Welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune, I took you way back in the time. It's a tune by Richard Dimples Fields. She's Got Papers, you know. But, you know, our theme tonight is about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and our guest, Linda Watley, she has been sharing her life, and it just goes to show that you don't really have to be in the military to go through something. Anybody can have that condition. But I do want to thank all the military people, retired and active, for doing what you do, you know, protecting the country. I love you for doing that because, you know, some of us don't want to be part of that. You know, it's just, it's too much. It's too much. And I just want to thank all my listeners that's tuning in on this Friday evening, because you could have been somewhere else, but you're hanging it out with me. And I want to tell my co-host, Mark Anthony Real out of California, who's not here tonight, that, darling, it's okay. You know, take care of your business, you know, and I'll talk to you tomorrow and see you next Friday here on the mic. But I also want to say that, you know, to Linda, all men aren't scandalous. You know, I know a lot of good men, and one good man in particular is Michael A. Smith. That's my cutie patootie. I'm going to make that man my husband. You know, he's a good man, and he's a believer of helping. Yeah, I'm telling you, girlfriend, I seen it. Ooh, I'm going to hook that one lock sinking, man. I got the bait. I'm going to get that one and lock it down. He's going to be like Beyonce, put a ring on it. But anyway, we're going to get back, and I want to touch a little bit about your books. What do you want to talk about first? Because I want to leave The Soldier with a Backpack as last, you know, because that's a phenomenal book. And I'm so mad at you because I didn't get a copy that was autographed. I'm just saying, you know, just treat me like a cousin, a distant cousin, but okay.
You can have one, for sure.
I so would like to get one, darling. And when it's all over,
I'm going to
text my address to your phone number, okay? This one that we want right now. As soon as I hang up, okay?
I'll give you a book. I promise.
All right,
you
and please autograph it. Say to that crazy author, is Terry Lyle, man, she's a wild thing.
I'll be more than happy to, really.
Oh, bless
your
heart.
Give me that information, too, okay?
Okay, please do, please do. So people don't know that you were in the military. Tell us about when you joined the military, what branch, and how long did you stay?
Well, you can see my reasons for going. You can see my reasons for going.
Yeah, you've been through some things, girl.
I had to make a plan of escape. I had to have hope in the future. So, and I had all my paperwork done. All I had to do was walk across the stage. I walked across the stage in June. I was in the service the 1st of July. And I went to the Army.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Army for 3 years. And I actually had a pretty good time there. It was really nice traveling and meeting people from all over the world and, you know, just being independent and just free. It was just really a blessed time for me.
But, you know, so I'm going to say something about you being in the Army. I don't want nobody to get it twisted. They think that because you said you just got out of high school and you went to the Army. You know something, my grandson went in, my daughter went in, my son-in-law, my ex-husband military, all my brothers and my sister military. You know, a lot of times it takes some people a couple of tries to get past boot camp. So for you to get through, girlfriend, you a tough cookie, okay? With that backpack and you running, huffing hot in the field, you a tough cookie, okay?
the heat in Alabama was, like, shocking. That's the most shocking part about the whole journey was when I went to Fort McClellan, Alabama. I had never been that hard on my skin. I mean, I was a whole totally different skin texture.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst of it for me. I was like, wow, this is really happening.
Well, I'm so glad you went there because it was a way to escape and see another life and also to grow up, you know, mentally. And, you know, you just got some good stuff. And I know you're a phenomenal mom because you can't go through what you came through and be in your right mind without being a great mother. Kudos to you, Linda, you know, because you're holding it down, sugar.
And you know what I liked about going into service, too? When I, when I arrived there, I was like, wow, don't nobody know me here. They have no clue who I am. So that was the first opportunity I had to be whoever I wanted to be.
Right. Well, did you ever find that, you know, when guys start trying to talk to you, because you're not a bad-looking female, Quasar's Cap, you know, did you find yourself kind of drawing back? Did you not want to have any ties with people, or did you find anything that were triggers that made you uncomfortable after you got out of school and got into the military?
Well, one of the things that I noticed, it's like, to be honest with you, I really didn't understand sex. I didn't understand why everybody was so excited and anxious about it. I said, well, they know they can get pregnant, so that's what they say. But why is everybody just doing it? So I really didn't get it. And so, like, when I went into service for a couple of months there, it was like people were thinking something was wrong with me because everybody was sexually active. I ain't going to say everybody, but a large number of people were sexually active.
They was getting it on.
Right, and so, like this one young lady, she really got upset with me. She said, what's wrong with you? How come you ain't, you know, doing, you know, what everybody else is doing? I said, why would I? I said, I don't want to. I don't need to. I don't understand why you doing it.
Exactly.
And then they actually thought I was gay because I wasn't doing anything. And I was like, gay? I didn't even understand that either. I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. That,
yeah.
You know, if you're not doing that, back then, that's what they assumed.
Exactly, exactly.
So I did have some issues with enjoying life at that age.
Mm-hmm. But you're right, Linda. You know, I can understand both the confusion in the life that you had to go through. I can understand, and knowing that this was not right, you know, it kind of killed that tenderness that comes that you're supposed to feel the first time that you introduce the sex. It should be something that's, you know, a beautiful experience, because I don't want nobody to think that sex is ugly, because it's not. But, you know, if you got the opportunity to be with a woman for the first time, or it's the guy's first time, you know, just remember, they don't know shit, you know, and they're nervous, and they want to pretend like they know something. But, you know, say into the air what you think they're feeling like. It's okay if you don't know what to do when your legs are tingling or your toes want to curl. It's okay, you know, if you are sweating, you can't breathe, you know, and after it's over, you know, cuddle, because that's how you make it a tender, loving experience. It's not about somebody just doing it, you know, that's just a act, you know, but it's not tender. And without the tenderness, I can surely understand why you could care less whether you did it or you didn't.
Well, like for me, it was like, I mean, when I did finally, you know, get involved, it wasn't like I was actually involved. I was just making myself available. I didn't even see myself actually doing anything. I was just actually just going through the motions. For so many years of my life, I was detached from it. I just said, that's what they want to do. Okay. You know, it just didn't matter. You know, like.
Oh, so you said detached, like not doing it, or when you did it, you just laid there?
Pretty much I was not an active person. I was just there. It's like.
Okay.
Just like I was with my father. I guess that's the best way to explain it. I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kissing, right. That part seemed to me to be about the. But kissing and hugging seemed like to me that was what was all about with the relationship. But all that other part, no, and the hugging. But that part there, I was totally detached from it. But everything else, I thought it was really nice. But that part, I was like, it seemed like to me it was like animals.
Right.
That's
I understand.
I
guess somebody probably won't call you a cold fish because, you know, you was laying there. But, you know, they ain't walked in your shoes. And also, you know, if y'all hear any dog barking in the back, I got my dog here in the studio because it's late at night, you know, and I am a cutie on duty. I don't need nobody come run up in here. So, you know, my dog won't eat them up. So, you know, if you hear any dog, that's just my dog acting crazy in the background. But, darling, when did you branch out and decide you were going to write a book?
The first time I wrote was about a little more than eight years ago. See, I wrote about that. I wrote a trilogy about my journey with molestation, but that was stolen from me. I never received my royalties from it. And you would not believe this. I mean, to show you how dark life can be, the person that had stole my trilogy was a registered sex offender.
Get out.
Yes. I mean, to show you how, I say that devil got really busy because you don't. I was giving this young lady a chance to get her business going. I thought we was on the same page. We was working together to build a company together.
Mm-hmm.
And she took everything. I never received anything. And I had wrote this trilogy, but I'm going to explain to you why and how I ended up writing.
Let me ask you a question. Didn't you have it in the Chambers of Commerce? I mean, I'm sorry, the Library of Congress Copyright Office, so that way it's documented as that's your work? And she couldn't steal it. She can probably, you know, get the barcode to her company and steal your royalties, but she couldn't steal your work. Or you didn't have it in the copyright office.
But see, I did have all of that. But see, like, you know, so much work is done at a distance. You know, on the internet, you actually never meet physically. She was in Florida. I was here in Ohio. And
that don't mean shit. That, darling, that don't mean shit. Because let me tell you something. I sued somebody in Delaware, and I live in Alabama. And if you got your work at the copyright office in Washington, D.C., and you can call them and get proof, you can sue her ass and take everything she got. Don't let that go like that because obviously you don't know. That is not true. We can talk afterwards, but I'm not going to let nobody keep sticking it to you because you've been screwed around too many times, you know, and I'm sick of this shit, okay? I'm going to help you out. Please.
Hey, look, you said you wanted to be bad tonight, huh?
That's right, okay. I'm sick of this, okay? Because God is still in control. Girl, don't you know, but that trilogy, you're going to get it back, okay? Yeah, but see, a lot of times, you know, we allow people to do stuff to us because we don't know. And there is no one out there who's trying to help us and to share the information that they do know. But if you can prove that your work was documented in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., Copyright Office, Trust and Believe, girlfriend, I can get you the phone number. I can get you the address. You can get proof of your stuff. And you can go online and get the courts in the area of Ohio where she live at or where you live at, the state that she live in. You can get the court there, and you can send a copy of your complaint and file it. They'll send you a form because I did it, and you can pay for it and send it there, and you can stick it to her. Trust what I'm telling you. Don't. She ain't stole shit. She just borrowed it for a while. But all that she took, God gonna get back to you and then some. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
The devil is a lie. Whew. She ain't took nothing. She done got a little full of herself, but we're gonna show her a new thing. Okay. But go on, we're gonna let you talk about your trilogy and that sex offender, Heifer.
She was a school teacher.
I know, exactly.
But the thing about it is, see, I take some responsibility for this, though. See, that's one thing about me. I do own my part to certain things because
right.
I'm a trusted person, and I also was less active in it than I should have been. But basically,
right.
what I wanted to say how I ended up writing it was, one day, I was talking to someone, and he told me, he said, you need to read this book by Dr. Phil. It's called Self Matters. And so,
right.
like, at the end of it, it had this questionnaire part that you're supposed to read towards the end of it. And so I thought, this is corny. You know, I don't want to do this. And so I just still kept answering questions and everything. And then all of a sudden, my whole insides just, like, collapsed. I mean, I was traumatized. I thought I had lost my mind, and I don't even know what happened. But the end result was I ended up writing about my molested experience from the time I was a child to when I was a young adult until adult. And that's how it ended up being a trilogy. So that's
mm-hmm.
how I ended up writing. That's how I became an author. And so the second time around, almost 8 to 9 years later, I ended up writing Soldier with a Backpack, Live and Dying Simultaneously. Almost
okay.
the same type of yeah, happened with me, with my son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had did terms in Iraq, and he's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so
right.
his last experience, I was determined to be able to embrace him. I didn't want to just get him through a day. I wanted to embrace him, meaning that I understand, I get this, you know, bond with him. And so I researched and I researched, and the more I researched, the more I was led to start writing things down. And Soldier with a Backpack came into existence. I know it was the will of God.
Amen.
And it was amazing how it came about, and it has not stopped. It just keeps going. So that's how I ended up writing. It's always from within. I don't plan it. It just comes from within, and it finds its way into words.
Okay, well, tell somebody about the theme of the book, A Soldier Story Dealing with PTSD, Soldier with a Backpack, or do you have the book handy that maybe you can read a little part of the book to give somebody an idea how well that you translate the words that they can visualize what's really going on? And could you also tell people some of the signs that people go through or the symptoms, medical symptoms, when they do have PTSD?
For me, with post-traumatic stress disorder, I saw all the clinical terms and definitions and conclusions, but it's like spiritual part of me seems to be more embraced with post-traumatic stress disorder than the psychological, mental, you know, logical aspect. But basically, what post-traumatic stress disorder reveals is that we are more than just a physical being.
That
it's so much greatness inside of us that we have to get in touch with. And when we don't be in touch with it, it's going to strive for our attention, because in there is everything about us, the unseen aspect of us. And post-traumatic stress disorder is like compounding. It's very powerful. It's very demanding. It's very
mm-hmm.
forceful in making you face the inner aspects of yourself. You know, like
mm-hmm.
especially the parts of you that has been traumatized, that has been hurt, crushed, disappointed, especially when it comes to trust and injustice. That's the aspect of the unseen part of us. It's like when we hurt ourselves on the outside, get a cut, a bruise, broken leg, you know, diabetes, anything like that, we can get outside help. People can say, well, we're going to put a Band-Aid on here, some stitches. We're going to give you a couple of pills to balance your diabetes, sugar levels out. they're going to offer you some help here. But when you have that inside damage, those wounds, you know, you are in there by yourself.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to come in there and give you no crutches, no Band-Aids, no medicine. That you're going inside, you're going to see that you are greater than what the world has told you. And when you go in there, that's when God is really, really, really has to be manifested to a high, you know, level. Because you're in there by yourself. And this whole
I'm so
world,
glad, Linda, that you said that PTSD is not so much as a psychological, more than a spiritual thing. And I believe that because we are spirit creatures, and I believe that when we go through something so traumatic, it's a level, what they call, I guess, our core, you know, like, you know, it's the thing that sustains us, that make us the people that we are, whether we are good, compassionate, loving, and that spiritual shell, when something traumatic happens to the outside of us and the psychological part can't comprehend what's going on, it kind of tear up that spiritual space, and you're absolutely right. You know, you got to take it to God to fix that because no medicine can fix that. Medicine can only make you like a zombie. It can make you out of sort, not really dealing with it, because medicine can't fix that. It has to be, like you said, something spiritual awakening, something that you do, you know, because you're not trying to feed the body with medication. You're trying to get your spirit person to be healthy again. And a lot of times, you know, things are blocked in the psyche because of what's going on. But you made a very good point, and I do believe that's true, that that's more of a spiritual thing, even though they try to medicate. But what they're doing is trying to shut you down so you can be like, you know, a sleepy zombie, you know, until they try to figure out what to tell you. But God is the head of everything, and God can fix everything. So I'm so glad you made that point, Linda.
That's what God wants me to do, because I find it interesting that, you know, when I had a review done of Amazon, this one person, the lowest rating that he gave me the greatest title for my book, he said, "A Soldier with a King James Bible."
Mm-hmm.
That right there spoke volumes, because I wasn't religious when I went in there writing that book. I was spiritual. I was soulful.
Right.
Human. You know, and see, the reason why I had confidence to step forward, when I had finished my manuscript, I knew I had shared some things in my son's life, and my son is a very private person. And so also knew God really, really wanted me to do this book, because some of the things that I had said, I had no clue that I was going to say. So I know
right.
The Spirit of God had taken over my book. But I also needed his blessings as well. And so when I had finished the manuscript, I told him I had finished it. He told me to send it to him.
Mm-hmm.
About 3.5 hours later, he said, "You have to publish it. You have to."
Wow.
Because he had an episode where for 3 hours, I did not know if my son was still alive.
Really?
That's
oh, my God.
Serious. That's how serious that moment was. That's how Soldier with a Backpack came into existence. I did not know where my son was for 3 hours.
Wow, you know, when you said that, this kind of made my inside feel like it vibrated, like, ooh. I can't even imagine that. But you know something, Linda, I'm going to have to take another small break, and we're going to come back. And what we're going to do when we come back, we're going to let you finish that thought, and we're going to let you tell people how to get your books, because I realize that, bless your heart, you got another interview coming up at 9:30, so I'm going to cut my thing a little short to give you a chance to, like, whew, take a deep breath, you know, before you start all over again. Okay, so I'm going to take a little small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been in this. Yeah,
Hey, man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is it? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Anthony Real is going through something right now, and darling, take your time, do what you need to do, and kick it back with me next Friday. But tonight, our guest is Linda Watley. the author of the book called A Soldier's Story and dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, this beautiful woman has shared her heart. She has told some personal stuff, and I hope the people that's listening can learn from it, grow from it, and know that, you know, when you're going through something, you know, you don't always have to be medicated. Just take it to the Lord in prayer because he can fix it, you know. And that song that I played was La 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 Means I Love You by the Delphonics. I took you back into time because that's where I like to be at, where things are a little different for some people, you know, where men knew how to be men and women knew how to be women, you know, but there's always a knucklehead in a group, you know, and I'm sorry, Linda, that your dad is now unable to walk, but you know something, one action and one reaction causes an action, you know, and what he did to you was wrong. I'm not advocating, you know, that's what he deserved, but, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just being real with it. I don't feel no sympathy for him because it appalls me what he did to you as a baby, you know. And Quasar Kept right now, I'm glad I don't know who he is, man, because if he's in a wheelchair, I'll probably knock his ass out. But anyway, I'm getting off track, okay? Let me forget I said all that. But Linda, I want you to get the opportunity right now, darling, to tell everybody how to get your book, how much your book costs. I'm going to send you some information to this number that we're on right now after we hang up. And I want you to have an opportunity, you know, to like, ooh, go get something to drink real quick, run to the bathroom, because you got a show starting about 35 minutes. And I want to make sure I get you a, you know, a little leeway. You know, I'm not going to hold you 9:30 like, you know, you're supposed to be here. But, you know, I'm going to give you a break because you said you sent me a book, okay?
Oh,
go ahead, darling. Do your thing.
Soldier with a Backpack, Living and Dying Simultaneously, can be purchased on Amazon. And you can go to my website. I have several links there where it's also available, and that's at www.lindadianewatley.com, and it's also at Barnes & Noble.
Well, okay. Well, how much your book cost, baby?
$15. And it's also an e-book, too.
Okay. Well, do you want to give a personal shout-out to your mom and your kids by name and tell them how much you love them and everything?
I just want to do a huge shout-out to God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everybody that loves the Lord. I thank God for this opportunity today. I appreciate you. I enjoyed you. Thank you for allowing me.
Oh, girl, I enjoyed you, too. You know I'm a fool.
Oh, wow. I was like, wow, this was really wonderful for me. I appreciate it.
Or anytime, and you know, baby, when you write something else, you know, this is home. You can come back, okay? You're going to talk about your next book, you know, or we can just kick it like the girls. But you know something, we really need to talk because we really need to get your trilogy back into your hands and whatever money you have lost because of that person, you know, but we need to talk for real because I got you.
Okay.
I got you, darling. You know, my word is my bond. Like, well, how do you say, you know, if I said, you could believe that, okay? But you know something, since I had it old school all tonight, I'm going to leave it here at old school, and I'm going to leave out with a song called Leaving Me by the Independents. And I want y'all to come back next week because you know how I do it. I'm going to keep it real 24/7. If you don't like it real, don't tune in because I'm going to give you what I got. And with that being said, peace. Thank you for being here, Linda. You have a beautiful weekend, and call us, sister, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome, darling.
After all this time, you seem to me, girl, to be changing your mind. We don't talk no more like we used to do. Yeah. What in the world has come over you?
Leaving me,
huh, baby?
Can't be.
Tell
tell me, babe?
What you telling me?
I wanna know,
baby.
I heard somebody say,
leaving me.
Got your clothes back, babe.
Baby. What you telling me?
I want you to go, babe.
Baby.
Listen to me. Lately I felt that you avoided my conversations. You would turn on the TV, yes, you would be needing aggravation. I just don't know what I've done to you. But whatever it is, child, I hope one thing can't be true, and that is
leaving me.
Ooh, no,
can't be.
Mary down there, she don't know what she's talking about. She think I'm cutting up on you, baby.